I'm Indy Todd. Welcome to The Point. Nicknamed the Whaling City because of its history as one of the most important whaling ports of the 19th century, New Bedford is one of the biggest cities on the south coast of Massachusetts and still the number one fishing port in the country. In addition to its maritime roots, New Bedford is also known for a vibrant art scene and is host to a number of different festivals. But New Bedford also struggles with many common urban issues, crime, drugs, and how to promote business and economic growth. New Bedford's Mayor John Mitchell is now in his second term and joins us in studio this morning to discuss what's on his agenda. Good morning.
Good morning, Minnie. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we also want to hear from listeners if they have a question or a comment for Mayor Mitchell. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. I know a lot of our listeners along the South Coast are familiar with you, but there may be some who don't know a little bit about you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am now in my second term as mayor of New Bedford, the great city of New Bedford, and things are going very well for the city. I come to the job. I tell people that I came to the job some 2 years ago without any relevant skills. I had been a career federal prosecutor in Boston. I was an assistant United States attorney where I prosecuted many white-collar offenders as well as some street criminals, some organized crime members, and so it's been a learning curve, but a fun learning curve. The steepest learning curves are usually the most fun, and mine has been no exception. You know, I have a job now in which I manage 3,000 employees, a $300 million budget. I run not only things like a school department, a police department, and a fire department, but also a zoo, an airport, a wastewater facility, a library system. So in reality, it has been not just one steep learning curve, but multiple learning curves. But it's been a good ride so far, and the city's making substantial progress and along every front. Crime is down. We are aggressively reforming our school system. The city is growing. Our major manufacturers are growing. Our fishing industry is, like others, is weathering changes in fishing stocks as well as regulations. But the reality, too, is that New Bedford's market share of the Northeast fishery is growing substantially. We're becoming really the dominant port on the East Coast. Yeah. We're the largest commercial fishing port nationally, but we're becoming even more dominant as time goes on and as the industry consolidates in the Northeast. And we've succeeded in positioning ourselves pretty well to be the leading offshore wind port in the United States.
All these little things that you're mentioning here. But you grew up in New Bedford. New Bedford's home for you.
Yeah, it is. It is. I grew up in New Bedford and North Dartmouth. I went to school up in Boston, college up in Boston, and I started out as a federal prosecutor in Washington. Came back to Massachusetts, worked in private practice at a big law firm in Boston, and then worked as an assistant U.S. attorney for 8 years. But I for a long time had wanted to come back to New Bedford. I thought I had some things to offer the city, and I've been lucky. We've built a great team, a very skilled team of folks who have come back to the city to see it grow. We all recognize that New Bedford has tremendous potential. It's something that folks have talked about for a long time. And the question really has been, you know, can New Bedford put it all together?
Right.
You know, the artistic base, the sort of the cultural legacy of the whaling industry, the great walkable streets, the connection to the water, the authenticity of the fishing industry, it's all right there, and it has needed some leadership to pull it all together, and that's what we're working on.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned second term. Obviously, you like the job because you're back for a second term.
I am.
To keep going.
Yeah, people offered both their congratulations and
the
condolences.
Right. Yeah. So was it what you thought? You mentioned you had this learning curve.
Yeah.
So is the job what you envisioned it would be?
Well, it doesn't. I don't think I had a very clear sense of what I was getting into, and I say that not because I was naive about it, but it's one of those things where you don't know what it's like until you've been there,
yeah.
Right? You know, overall, there hasn't been one thing that has stood out to me as being surprising or terribly unexpected. There have been bumps along the way. There have been pleasant surprises, minor surprises, but no one big surprise. Mm-hmm. I will say that everything in the job is an effort. Cities today, American cities today, are at once experiencing a renaissance. Many are. Some are on the cusp of a renaissance. I'd put us in that category, and others are struggling with diminished resources, mm-hmm. and we're sort of in that category as well. So, yeah. Every effort requires resourcefulness. It requires a long-term vision. I have eschewed the short-term political approach to problems. We're really trying to lay a groundwork for a long-term sustainable economy and culture in our region. Mm-hmm. New Bedford's a significant place. Greater New Bedford is a metropolitan area of approximately a quarter of a million people. New Bedford proper is about 100,000. You know, we're one of what I would submit as four metropolitan areas in the state: Boston, Worcester, Springfield, New Bedford. Mm-hmm. I think there's a resurgence of confidence now in the city that is long in coming, but it's well based.
As you mentioned in your inaugural address, 2 years ago, New Bedford's school system was threatened with a state takeover. So why and what steps are you taking now to transform the school system?
So the school system was threatened with a state takeover when I first entered office. It had not been well led. It had suffered from diminished resources and neglect in a number of quarters. Like a lot of other cities, New Bedford had a school department that had been plagued over the years with patronage. The slow accretion of patronage jobs can take its toll on a large organization. Our school department has about 2,000 employees or so. There was some gross mismanagement going on. The threat of a state takeover at least gave me gave the city the impetus to take some pretty dramatic action. So we went ahead first and foremost to change the leadership. We moved out the sitting superintendent, and we put in an interim superintendent who had been a very established educator in the region and did a good job stabilizing the ship for a year. In the meantime, we set up a search committee to find the next superintendent. We had a number of folks from in the district on that committee. The committee was headed by Dana Mulafaria, the president of Bridgewater State College. I brought in one of my college roommates, Josh Edelman, who's in charge of teacher improvement at the Gates Foundation, to get bring a national perspective in. We had a very transparent and robust search. It came down to three individuals: the outgoing superintendent of Memphis, the head of elementary education in Chicago, and the superintendent of Attleboro, Pia Durkin. And we ultimately went with Pia Durkin, who had an unequivocally, unambiguously successful run at Attleboro, raising an urban district where test scores are now above the state average of all districts. The dropout rate is below the state average. AP scores are above the state average. She succeeded along every metric, and we brought her in to do the same in New Bedford. It's a tough task to turn around an organization that big, but it's not too big. One of the starting premises that we've based all of our reform efforts on is that it's not so big that it can't be turned around as a whole. The orthodoxy these days in urban school transformation efforts is to throw the whole mm-hmm. system open to charters, and for good reason. Especially in the much larger districts and major metropolitan areas, you have school populations that in many cases that exceed 100,000 students, and turning in one monolithic organization around is a very difficult task. In New Bedford, we have a large organization, but it's not unwieldy. There are 13,000 students. As I said, about 2,000 employees. That is big, but it is manageable. You can get your arms around it. I don't have a categorical objection to charter schools. We have a couple mm-hmm. in New Bedford, and they work well, and we support them well. But we've taken more of a traditional approach, more, frankly, of a top-down approach to management, because at the end of the day, you know, what we found is that in those systems that throw everything open to charters, you end up with a two-tiered school mm-hmm. system, and you see signs of that in places even in Boston. So we've gone about it that way, and we've been aggressive. We hit some bumps along the way, and confrontations with the teachers union that have garnered a fair amount of press, but we're working through that, and I have a lot of confidence that we're going to have a school system that does right by our students.
What about the role of parents in this transformation process? What do you think? That's tough. It's tough to get some parents on board.
It is tough. It is. Look, I mean, when I say this to anyone who cares to listen in any audience, it's education starts at home. To state the obvious, kids who are not ready to come to school to behave and are not ready to learn are not going to learn. And so, parental engagement means a lot. Parents, there are many parents in urban schools or in urban areas that are not sufficiently engaged, and for a variety of reasons. Some mm-hmm. some of it is can be chalked up to cultural barriers. We have a lot of folks who don't speak English as a first language, and the parents have a tough time communicating mm-hmm. directly and are self-conscious about that limitation, so they don't engage schools. Some parents have had themselves difficult experiences in schools and so are reluctant to revisit those experiences by going in and supporting their kids, as difficult as that might mm-hmm. be to imagine. And then there's some others who are just plain checked out. On the other hand, most of the parents in New Bedford are pretty engaged with the school, some more than others. So it's a work in progress. In urban areas, the school system, the reality is the school system can't be sort of a passive counterparty with parents. In many districts, it's the parents bring the problems to the school, and there's no need for outreach. In urban areas, the reality is that you have to, as a school system, proactively reach out to parents and find ways to connect in ways that are meaningful, so that both parents and teachers can be on the same page with respect to their children's education.
We're talking with New Bedford Mayor John Mitchell. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number if you have a question or a comment for us. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after a quick break.